I wore my Tecovas, my new brown Tecovas boots, the Chelsea boots, to a dinner a few days ago,
Oh my
and
God,
I
how'd it
got
go?
complimented. Well, they were great. They fit well, but they got complimented, and I was like, well, they're spawn number one, but two, I really do love them. Thank you for complimenting my boots. I love my Tecovas boots. I know Lindsay loves hers too. I love what Tecovas put in their ad copy here. It's about festival and concert season being all about the boots, especially with a big album that came out very recently that I
Oh,
won't name. But
this
if you
ain't
love this album, you're
Texas.
gonna this ain't Texas. You're gonna want your Tecovas. You know, this ain't Texas. These Tecovas. They have seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All of their boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. They have first wear comfort, so you don't have to like break them in and wear them in. They're comfortable right out of the box. I can say that from experience, it's true. And their direct-to-consumer pricing keeps value on your feet and money in your pocket. And if you live in a place with a Tecovas store, you should probably go there because they give you a drink, they help you out, they help you pick the perfect boots that you want, and it smells good because there's leather everywhere. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized and regular live music and events, so there's no in-store experience quite like it. But if you can't make it into a store, just go to tecovas.com. That's Tecovas.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and they ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
You will drive it.
Welcome to Who Weekly, the podcast where you'll learn everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. I'm Bobby Finger.
I'm Lindsay Weber.
And this is an old video of Trisha Paytas holding a sandwich.
Huh? What? Oh. Okay.
It's not about the sandwich. We were just talking about how it's a universal video, that it can be used in every context.
It is the kindred spirit to Kombucha Girl.
But I feel like Kombucha Girl hasn't necessarily stood the test of time. Meanwhile, Trisha Paytas saying, huh, what, okay, in a car has stood the test of time.
What? Okay.
Oh, it's huh, what? Oh,
ow.
Okay.
Okay.
Is that it? Huh?
Huh? What? Oh. Okay.
Thank you to TheodeIT on YouTube for uploading the video. Trisha Paytas hyphen, huh? What? Oh, okay.
Huh? What? Oh, okay. So you got to make sure you have all those in there. Huh? What? Oh, okay.
I wish I could see on Trisha Paytas's OnlyFans, like, how many subscribers. Like, I don't actually care about how much
she's
money
in the
she's
top
making on
0.01%
it.
Of creators. If you see her on Instagram, you know that.
She has 44,000 likes.
She's doing some real work on there, I gotta say. And by work, I mean, like, her OnlyFans is very authentic to the OnlyFans brand, meaning she's got costumes, she's got toys, she's got everything. I mean, I'm not on it, but from what she advertises, it's like she's really out here giving the people what they want.
I'm proud of her.
Yeah,
you know,
no, it's
everyone's
true.
Finding a way to make it work. And she found hers. Huh?
She gives me what I want, which is, you know, that video available to me anytime I want it.
You are listening to Who's There, our weekly call-in show where we take your questions, comments, and concerns at 619 who them. Let's move on to comments. We have so many comments.
I know.
Lindsay and Bobby, you just made my dreams come true today. What a great way to go into the weekend. Your girl Neapolitan ice cream is a them. Bye.
Okay, so that was that was
the
Neapolitan
famous
girl.
Neapolitan ice cream girl.
I like that both she called and her best friend called. Here's her best friend's call.
Hi guys. Okay. I don't even know where to begin. My best friend is Neapolitan girl, and I woke up to 70 texts in our group chat this morning because you have literally made her life. She's so happy, and I just want to thank you guys because now we don't have to fucking hear about it anymore, because she talked about you guys answering her question constantly. So I just want to thank you. Honestly, I was going to call at one point and be like, can you just answer this so my friend will shut the fuck up? But as you said, we knew all along that it's in them. But seriously, that was really sweet and kind, and it made all of our lives. So thank you so much. I love you guys. Crunch, crunch.
So, you know, we're out here changing lives.
I mean, I think the we're the issue, heroes. Us. We are. Put us on the cover of British GQ Heroes Issue.
We are the real heroes. Next call.
Hey, Lindsay and Bobby. Longtime listener, longtime caller. I was just calling because I was listening to this week's episode of Who's There, and you were talking about the Langford sisters and how the tabloids may not want them to be having a feud, but I would actually almost argue that there's a precedent for acting sisters to have tense relationships with each other. And specifically, I'm thinking of Olivia de Havilland and Joan Fontaine, who didn't speak for decades. And my broken quarantine brain is wanting to create some sort of conspiracy theory where the Langford sisters are trying to become the new Olivia de Havilland and Joan Fontaine. Anyway, crunch, crunch, that MacBook.
Yeah, I love that.
Very, you must remember this of you, caller.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know that. Also, they have different last names. So even in history, it's like you might forget. Like if you didn't know. If you didn't know, you didn't know.
I was reading about them briefly just on Wikipedia, and there's a huge whole section on Olivia de Havilland's Wikipedia, who's Olivia Havilland's still alive, by the way. Like, nothing's going to take this woman down.
Amazing.
There's a very long segment in the Wikipedia about her relationship with Joan Fontaine and how they were constantly feuding and they were constantly, like, at odds, and then they'd make up and then they'd be at odds again, and it would all be over very obvious, like, family stuff. Like at one point it's like they were fine, but then they disagreed over how to take care of their dying mother, you know, like it's like classic family drama. And it ends with the sibling feud ended with Fontaine's death on December 15th, 2013. The only thing that ended the feud was one of them dying.
I know that's like not funny, but it's also like, yeah, it of course it ended the feud. How else would the feud have to end unless somebody just tapped out by dying?
She tapped out. Joan Fontaine is like, I'm done here.
Like, done. We're done feuding. And then, you know, they're done. It's true.
Okay, this is one of perhaps, you don't know, 70 calls we got about this. Let's just play one at random.
Hi, Lindsay, Bobby. I'm just calling. I know that I'm sure you're getting like a million other calls about this, but Gigi Hadid is not 20 years old. Like, she's 25. She's just turned 25 this week. So, well, her pregnancy is super young. It's not like Pennsylvanian Dutch young. So that's funny. She's Dutch and she's in Pennsylvania. Sorry. Forget it. Sorry. This is really muffled. I'm wearing a mask and I'm grocery shopping right now. But anyway, Gigi Hadid is 25, not 20. Anyway, love you. Crunch, crunch.
Imagine if I was like in the grocery store, which already like red alert, got my mask on, terrified, and there's a woman just like giggling into her phone with the mask on, being like, Gigi Hadid is actually 25. I'd be like, lady, not now.
Focus. She's right. That was a miss. I think that was a misspeak by one of us. Not to point fingers, but somebody did misspeak. We knew that. I knew that she was 25. I still think that that's young, but it's still. But
it's not as young as we were saying. Right. You know, it's a podcast. We get caught up in the moment, and this is a correction, and now we corrected the record. You know,
it's a podcast. You know,
what is it? We fly by this. Fly by
seat
the
of our pants.
Seat of our pants. There we go. We fly by the seat of our pants. Wow, I pulled a U just now. Thank you.
I mean, you knew. Yeah. Well, you got it right the first time.
No, I didn't know,
and
you knew. I love it.
You got it the first time.
Next call.
Hi, Lindsay, Bobby. I just had to pause the newest episode of Who Dat. Hollywood Unlocked is a blog run by Jason Lee of Love and Hip Hop fame. He's definitely Whoey, interacts with every Whoey person that has ever been on any VH1 franchise ever. So just wanted to clarify that. Hope y'all are staying safe and healthy. Good form, Bella Thorne.
That's amazing news. I love that. So Hollywood Unlocked literally is a character on Love and Hip Hop, essentially, because the guy who runs it talks about, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. The guy who runs it is on the show, and then he runs it talking about people who are on the show. So it's kind of this like amazing tool. But that's the funniest thing about this guy is his name is Jason Lee, and his Instagram, thank God, is at the only Jason Lee, which is very funny because he is literally the second most famous Jason Lee that there is that I've ever heard of. Like, there already is an actor who is relatively famous named Jason Lee.
He was in Alvin and the Chipmunks. I don't think the only Jason Lee was in Alvin and the Chipmunks. So
I think Jason Lee is also a Scientologist, not really one of the celebs that we love to talk about. But he was also, he was the star of like Earl, that show.
Oh,
that was
My
big.
Name is Earl. My name is Earl.
That was big. And he was also in all of the Kevin Smith movies, right? Or a good amount of them.
But okay. Yeah,
I would say that he is the only Jason Lee, if there is only one Jason Lee, which there's not. There's clearly two. This is a different Jason Lee. Maybe you should change your name to a different Jason Lee, or the other Jason Lee. The yeah. other Jason Lee.
I know a guy named Will Ferrell, and it's really funny. No, it's like it's would be like him getting an Instagram called the only Will Ferrell.
I guess maybe funny. That would be the joke, and that's like pretty funny. So yeah. maybe this yeah. is funny. I do love, I looked up Jason Lee, and you get the Love and Hip Hop wiki, which is like pretty much giving mm-hmm. you all you need. And if you read the wiki, you're just like, what the fuck? It says, Jason appears in a minor supporting role in season 2 of Love and Hip Hop Hollywood as a friend of Camilla's who exposes okay. the details of her fling with Lil Fizz. He quickly mm-hmm. ignites a rivalry with Hazel E after throwing a drink in her face in a heated argument. He returns in a larger role in season 3 where he comes into conflict with Monique Slaughter and Fizz when he obtains a copy of her alleged sex tape. Oh God, he's like the Perez Hilton of Love and Hip Hop, I guess.
I see. Okay,
yeah,
that makes
yeah,
sense.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Anyways, we can move on.
One more comment.
Hi, Who Weekly. Long time. I had to pause Who's There because someone called and asked if Stedman was a who or a them. And I immediately was like, oh, obviously he's a fucking them. There's no question. I go to text my friend. He's a huge Oprah fan. And she immediately says he's a who. And I start chastising her and get really upset. But then I remember, fun fact, I'm an African-American caller, and I had a talk with my grandpa one time, and he was just like, you know, I don't know why it is, but black people just love to know black celebrity spouses, and that's just so, so true. I mean, Denzel Washington's wife, Pauletta, Samuel Jones's wife, like, it's so true. If you're black, you just like Cookie Johnson of Magic Johnson fame, being married to somebody black, we just like have so much investment in them. I know you got Who Dat coming up. I don't know. Maybe you guys want to talk about it. Love you all. Crunch, crunch. Me in Greece.
I like this call. Number one, because it's a good insight. Number two, it is a great topic for the next episode of Who Dat, and we can use this to convince yeah. them to do one sooner than later.
I didn't realize that we talked about Stedman right before Who Dat. We should have brought up Stedman on Who Dat just to like get yeah. the confirmation, or just to mm-hmm. like have them talk about Stedman. But this is good information to know, and it makes your examples. It makes sense. Like, I can't speak to it, but like it makes sense to me. So I want to hear. I want to hear more about this.
I love your grandfather. No, black people love black spouses. Here's the thing to know, grandson.
But it's true.
Let's
because
talk.
Wait, so it's true because someone else, I don't think we're going to play the caller really whatever, but somebody called this week about Snoop Dogg's wife and how mm-hmm. he's always like shouting her out and people like love her and she's kind of become her own like character. Like, her Instagram name is like Boss, like the Boss Lady or something. And so it's like a very good dynamic. So it's like, that reminds me of this. It's like one of those where she's become her own character. T.I. and Tiny, that I just thought T.I. and Tiny. But anyways,
love T.I. and Tiny.
Yeah, whatever. So let's move on.
Though Tiny was famous independently of T.I.
Right, because she was in that girl group. Mm-hmm. Which one?
Ooh. She was in Escape.
Mm-hmm. Escape also had Candy Burris. Candy Burris, Tiny of T.I. and Tiny, and then mm-hmm. I think three other women that I don't know.
Those are definitely the most famous.
But wasn't their big song was like, just kicking it? Like, just kicking it. You know, it's like, just kick it. Like, na 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 na. Is that it? Wait. Yeah. But it down to the X cave me. Just kick it. Just. Right?
Just kicking it.
Wait, hold on. I just want to get to the chorus. Yes. Taking it. Shoes and relax your feet. Potty on down to the XK beat. Okay, thank you. My brain isn't fully, like, in the trash can. I do remember just kicking it by Escape. Okay.
Questions. This first one is sort of an entire experience, so let's just play the whole thing.
Entire experience.
Hi, Lindsay and Bobby. How do you pronounce Grimes' baby's name? Crunch, crunch.
Hi, Bobby and Lindsay. I just saw the tweet that said to call in and let you know how I think that Elon Musk and Grimes' baby's name is pronounced, and this is all I've got.
A12.
Aya,
A12.
J812.
A12.
Lionando.
J, A12.
S-A, a-12. C-E,
crunch, crunch.
Sexy, 1-2.
S-A, A12.
A12.
Z-A, A-12. Lionando. X-I-E, 12. X-S-A, 12.
X-A-12. Shia, the 12 is island.
X-V-A, X-V-A, 12.
Nash, 12.
X-A-A, 12. I-Fly, 12 must.
Zaya, 12.
X-A-A, 12.
Aeon Flux.
Aeon Charlie's Throne.
Aeon Flux with Charlize Theron.
Shay Atwell.
I think it's just Shay and the 12 is silent.
Share.
John. Shannon. John.
Bye-bye.
Tinashe 12.
Tinashe 12.
Via. Or like Via, but like with an X instead of the TH. So like Via.
It's the only things.
Hey, Lindsay Bobby. Is XA A12 a hoorism? Let him be the last time.
That was an incredible package. I will say I want to make sure that people know that Bobby sped up people's calls. Like, not everyone is calling like they sound like they're on a frantic, like,
I had to fit them all. I didn't want it to be too long.
I know, but I just, in case you didn't realize, I mean, maybe you did. Maybe you listened to us on double speed and that was on like quadruple speed.
Oh,
but
no.
But the point is that.
Oh, God, I didn't even think about that.
That was sped up so we could get all of those amazing responses. The ironic thing about this is that while we know the baby's name, it's been two days, whatever. We actually still don't know the pronunciation. That's still the mystery.
That's the mystery. We do, however, have a little more clues than we did when we sent the tweet calling for pronunciation guesses. So since we did that, Grimes tweeted, she explained it, because it's X-A-A-12. X is the unknown variable, so that's why they chose X.
It's true.
E, the A-E thing. My elven spelling
this
of
is my favorite
AI,
part.
Love and or artificial intelligence. So it could be any of those things.
So everyone trying to guess what A-E meant would have no reason to know that that is her specific elven spelling of AI, love, or artificial intelligence. Like, that is the funniest part. It's like everyone's like, oh, AE, it could stand for Ash, it could stand for this. It's like, no, it's literally her own elven language. So in case you knew that, like, maybe you didn't know it, so I guess
it's
not.
Like, oh, nice try, sweetie. A12, this is my favorite part because of the Elon correction. A12 equals precursor to the SR-17, parentheses, our favorite aircraft. No weapons, no defenses, just speed. Great in battle, but nonviolent. Gray heart. And then A equals Archangel, which is her favorite song.
Aww.
And then X, rat, metal rat.
I don't get what that means.
Really get that part, but it's sort of like the footnote. I don't know.
Huh? What? Oh. Okay.
After tweeting this, Elon responded and said SR-71, but yes. So he's in her comments.
He corrected his own girlfriend who just birthed his son, correcting her. She mixed up the numbers. It's SR-71, not SR-17.
I saw this funny tweet from Sam Adler Bell that said, starting a fight with my GF about why we don't have a favorite aircraft.
Well, then she responded. She was like, I'm sorry, I've been busy like birthing your child, but I had a typo issue.
Mm-hmm. Which is fair. It was just like last night when she was like, I was too busy giving birth to remember that I was on the cover of like Vogue somewhere.
That
Vogue
was Italy? Great.
Vogue
yeah.
Italy? Vogue
she
what?
She was on the cover of Vogue Italy. It was like incredible. Yeah.
Completely forgot I did this because I gave birth to a baby. Meanwhile, Elon already has 1,000 children. So he was like, whatever.
He has twins and triplets. Twins and triplets. Both. He has both things already.
How do you actually think it's going to be pronounced? And what do you think that they will call it? X?
I mean, I guess X, XI, which is what, like, X, like XAI.
Yeah.
Like Psi or something, or XI.
Psi. Psi is X. I think guess. X is not the craziest name, like, for, if you want just a quick nickname for a child. Like, in the realm of celebrity names, X isn't the wildest thing I've ever heard. Everything else is, but...
It's just funny that he already has a kid named Xavier. So mm-hmm. It's like he has a kid named Xavier. He has a kid named Kai.
Saxon
as well. Those are both, like, related. They also... I do think that truly the funniest thing about this is if this could be the baby's legal name, although it's not actually legally... You're not really legally allowed to have a name like this in California.
In California.
That's a whole other issue that people realized. But then the nickname could just be, like, the most basic nickname ever. That, to me, is, like, truly subversive. If the kid's name was actually, like, Jason.
Connor.
Jaden, you know? Right. It's like, his
Come
name
here,
is
Bill.
XEA12, but we
like,
call him Billy.
It's Bill.
Right. So, like, this... I don't know. To me, it almost feels like it could be borderline stunty, if only just because literally it's not a you can't even have this name in a legal whatever. Like, mm-hmm. Not that that should stop anyone from naming their kid whatever they want, but I don't know why I'm like, I need to defend people naming their kids names that are not legally accepted in California. But the point is that we don't really even know what they legally put on the birth certificate is my mm-hmm. point.
No.
And I don't know about Grimes being attention-y, but Elon Musk certainly loves attention.
What's her name? Claire Boucher?
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of people, if you notice, called in using like French pronunciations of 12 because they were like, because her last name is Boucher. There was
That's
a lot of
all crazy.
No, it's not crazy at all. I mean, it's a weird thing to say about anything related to Elon Musk and Grimes. That's not crazy at all, but it's not crazy at all.
Uh-huh.
Next question. Who Weekly is sponsored by Squarespace. We love Squarespace. We use Squarespace to advertise our show, to advertise our tour, to sell merch, to post great press that we get, to communicate with our listeners because there's an easy contact form. If we didn't have a Squarespace, your brand experience with Who Weekly would be considerably worse.
Considerably worse. Are you kidding? If I can't update, if I can't... Actually, you know what? Speaking of, I just realized the tour dates are still up. I gotta take them off. The tour is over. Gotta prepare for the next one. And you know what? I can do that in about 5 seconds. It will be so easy for me to do that.
Thank God their interface is intuitive and easy to use because we can make changes to our website very quickly and not stress out about it. We've used Squarespace for about as long as our podcast has existed. Can't imagine our website living anywhere else. And if you're intrigued, go to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch your amazing website, go to squarespace.com/who to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
The immaculate attention you give to surfaces under those rocks that most of us just skip across the lakes of our viewers' minds without a thought other than, how many can I get? That's why I would love you, whoever you are, whenever you are. Good form, Bellthorne.
The immaculate attention you give to surfaces under those rocks that most of us just skip across lakes of our viewers' minds without a thought other than, how many can I get? That's why I would love you, whoever you are, whenever you are.
I'll do that too. The immaculate attention you give to surfaces under those rocks that most of us just skip across the lakes of our viewers' minds without a thought other than, how many can I get? That's why I would love you, whoever you are, whenever you are.
Why is
our viewers?
It's not that bad. It's not that confusing. It's like poorly constructed in terms of what... Whatever, but it's poetic. It's something.
Okay. Am I just being willfully ignorant here? What is he talking So it's skipping rocks.
No, he's just saying, like, people. Okay, you really want me to explain this?
Yeah,
like, I'm
going to
give it. He's saying, I think what he's trying to say, I mean, whatever. He's trying to say in poetic language that rocks that you would normally use for entertainment to just throw across the
right,
lake to see
skip.
How many you could get to skip, the person he is looking for gives attention to the what is underneath those rocks. What is the depth of those rocks? What mm-hmm. is the purpose of those rocks? It's just written like crazy. And also him writing like, that's why I would love you, whoever you are, whenever you are, is very like, it's a little pandering for this
it's
person,
a little thirsty,
Noah Centineo,
yeah.
to be
yeah.
like making his fans all horny like this, you know? Mm-hmm. Also, never forget the last thing. Remember when he said that thing on at the award show that was like, do you have it? That made no sense.
I can get behind.
And before I go, I just want to say, it matters not what you've done, but what you do with what you've done for others. Thank you.
Noah is really the thinking man's Ansel Elgort. He's out here, you know, educating people. I once saw him on live just reading people. He was just like, I'm going to read. And then people were just mm-hmm. watching him read, you know, holding
he's
books.
The thinking. He's the thing. I'm sorry. He's the thinking man's Ansel Elgort.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
How long are you going to go with this? How long are you going to stick with this one?
I think maybe Ansel Elgort is the thinking man's Noah Centineo, but either one of those works for me, to be honest.
I'm not sure there's much thought involved when it comes to either of those people, to be honest.
I'm just saying, you know, Ansel Elgort took a nude and directed it to raising money, and Noah Centineo was out here.
He didn't take it. His dad took it.
Okay, I don't give a shit about who took the picture. Is what I'm saying is that Noah Centineo is out here doing activism as well on his own account, on his own journey. He's on Instagram. He was on Instagram doing like daily COVID updates. I swear to God. He was like
actually out here trying to engage.
True. Yeah,
that's true. That's
I mean,
true.
This caption has nothing to do with that, but I think it's like it's like these heartthrobs are doing everything that they can. In their own way to like contribute, and it comes off like this because
they're not really equipped. It's just like we were talking about in the episode of Who Dat. They want to be seen as activists, they want to be seen as do-gooders, and they're just not quite sure how, especially when they're quarantined
right.
and don't have access to people like they would. Although I guess even if Noah Centineo had the access, I'm not sure he'd be able to form a coherent thought, but he's trying.
But at least it doesn't put like a bad taste in my mouth. It's like, oh, you're trying. And I'm sure there's like maybe one out of the like 1 million people that are tuning into this that get it or see mm-hmm. something or do something or whatever. And like for some reason, even maybe it's because it's slightly stupid, it doesn't come off as pompous.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
I guess you're right. I mean, I guess I would rather have Noah Centineo waxing poetic about the qualities of rocks.
Yeah.
Then being like, I read this thing on Facebook that 5G caused coronavirus. Like, I, you know, I'd rather have this
right,
than the alternative.
The element of stupidity with kind of the self-awareness that you are a little bit stupid is so much better than like just ignorance and mm-hmm. like, you know, just like forceful masculine ignorance. There's something about him that is just like soft, and I like same with Ansel too. Like it's
forceful
weird.
Masculine ignorance.
You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean.
I much prefer like a dumb, sweet tryhard than like somebody who is like very confident in what they're doing, but you know, like has
a
no
confident
fucking
soft
idea.
Boy. Yeah. A confident soft fuck boy. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't really know how to explain this, but I'm just saying I think Noah Centineo turned like I don't think he has like talent, but I do think that he's like not a bad force in the world.
I put this so he's growing out this quarantine beard, which is really funny because he does look very, very different. And I love this photo of him holding up. It's honestly it's like the least pretentious instance of this kind of photo
of holding
that I've ever
a book.
Seen. No, specifically Infinite Jest. So he's holding up Infinite mm-hmm. Jest, but he's not like taking a stab at this. He's like literally holding up like he's holding it up as if he's saying like, uh-oh, like look at his. He has that. His eyes are like their Pixar characters. Right. He's like, oh, what am I going to do with this?
Yeah,
and
it's
I appreciate
good.
That. I appreciate that. It's also the hardcover, which is like especially funny.
I honestly would love a book, a celebrity book club that was just the celebrity choosing really hard books that they're never going to read and just holding them up, being like, look at this whopper, you know, and then like and every
I'm
month
gonna
leave.
It's
I'm
a gonna
new
use it as
big
a doorstop.
Next week he's got the Odyssey. He's like, what's this?
What was that movie? God, what's the movie? Didn't we see The Boy Next Door together?
In theaters?
Yes, we
did.
Remember The Boy Next Door?
Yeah, and she gave him a signed copy of the Iliad.
A first edition of the Iliad. She opens it up and she's like, wow, a first edition. Oh my God.
He's like, I know you like this book. And he's like, here's the first edition signed copy. And it's like the Iliad, which was like literally impossible.
Actually, I picked something up for you.
Oh my God, this is a first edition? I can't accept this. This must have cost a fortune.
It was a buck at a garage sale.
Who was the boy next door? Was it Jesse Metcalf or was it someone else?
No, it was Jesse Metcalf is a lot older.
He's too old.
It was
middle-aged man next door.
He literally. Boy next door? What was it called?
Oh, Ryan Guzman.
Ryan Guzman. Who, like, people thought was going to be a thing, but, like, where he at, you know?
Oh, he's on 9-1-1. He's on 9-1-1. He plays Eddie Diaz. Your favorite show, 9-1-1.
My favorite show.
I really privately really want to get into 9-1-1 Lone Star, but it's
you
tough.
Should.
It's
you should.
Tough. Like, not 9-1-1. I don't care about 9-1-1. I want
no,
to watch 9-1-1
Lone
Star.
Starring,
Liv
starring
Tyler and
Rob Lowe and Liv Tyler. Yeah. No, maybe you should.
So, I guess Machine Gun Kelly is neighbors with that asshole from Flipping Out who got, whatever, kicked off of Bravo or yelled at his kids' teachers. And looks like Machine Gun Kelly was just blasting him on the internet. So, do you know anything about this?
Mm-hmm. Well, we know a little bit about this.
This is like having a radio show disease. Not that Jeff Lewis.
All
like Jeff Lewis,
he does is
he
say
just, like,
too much
his,
on the radio.
He just like sticks his foot in the mouth on his mouth on the radio. But I think that's also why he's successful on the radio. So it's this like self-fulfilling prophecy. Do you know what I mean?
What the caller was talking about was he was like taking a dump on his kids' private school teachers on the radio. And then the private school was like, bye-bye, and they kicked the kid out of the private school because they were like, you can't do this.
They were
this.
Like, you can't do this. Like, you can't talk shit about teachers in a private school, like, on the radio.
They expelled the kid, and he was like, I'm so sorry, I've messed up, like, my bad. And all he has done since is make headlines for saying too much on the radio and then getting in trouble for it. And so, like, there was one last year he broke up with his longtime partner, the one he has the kid with, like the co-parent. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. then he just started dating again. And he started dating this chiropractor. We may have talked about this on the show, but then cut it because it was too boring.
Don't remember it. Yeah.
He started dating this chiropractor. And then he was like the chiropractor without a name was like a character on the radio show for a few days. He was like, well, another story about the chiropractor. Well, then, of course, the chiropractor heard and was like, bye bye. And then broke up with Jeff Lewis. Then he started dating this new person, Scott Anderson, who we just broke up with a couple days ago.
How do you know all this information?
It's all on Us Weekly. It's all everywhere.
That's true. I mean, it definitely feels like he has like the radio talking disease. Like he's not learning from his mistakes of just people being like, please don't talk about me on the radio.
But is it a mistake if it's like keeping him interesting on the radio? Maybe not.
But that's the disease. It's like if you're tweeting and you're getting a lot of likes and RTs, but like you're tweeting about like your roommate and your roommate's like, I can read these. Stop tweeting about me. And you're like, yeah, but I live for the RTs.
So
what else is there to talk about?
I live for the RTs. Remember that one time when a former friend of ours who will not be named blogged about wanting to move because they had no friends? And I texted them and I was like, I read your blog about not having any friends. Like, what? And they were like, oh, yeah. Like, I was just like in a place like, sorry, you're my friend. And I was like, bye bye. So
not anymore.
So Colson Baker, also known as Machine Gun Kelly, is the latest victim.
It's because he knew, I think it's like, he knew it would be a good story. It's like, oh, I'm going to talk about, because
to be fair, this is the best of all of the stories, you know? This is the one thing to talk about on the radio.
How old is he? He's boomer, right? Or is he like elder?
Jeff Lewis, he's like early 50s. I don't think he's that old, no.
He's like Gen X, right?
Yeah. That
I don't know why I'm going to generation talk. I'm just saying he's a 50-something, like, kind of up his own ass.
He's exactly
50. Like, aesthetically driven gay man who's like knows that a good enemy for him would be his neighbor, the young, rich, like alt rapper.
No, he ticks all the boxes.
Right. Like, it's a perfect fit. And like, what's the worst that could happen? He has to move? Like, I don't even think that he even thought of that. So he goes after his neighbor, Machine Gun Kelly. But what's interesting is, like, there's a few things. It's like he's loud. He's parking his cars.
He's parking his
in
car.
The wrong place.
Yeah, he's blocking things. He's
but
blocking
then the
driveways.
Other thing, he's like having parties, which I think is a little bit more of a pointed accusation right now. It's like, mm-hmm. who is at this house and what are they doing? So he's kind of calling him out. And then, of course, because Machine Gun Kelly is a much better young, like, millennial than Jeff Lewis is. Like, MGK
literally
is
a 30-year-old,
like,
versus a 50-year-old.
Right. Well, it's like he knows how to make content, right? Like, Jeff Lewis is on the radio and knows that the radio show is, like, where he is, and he's complaining, and that's his thing. But MGK is like, oh, I can do much better than this. So he literally makes, like, kind of a really good video where he's just, like, responding to Jeff Lewis talking shit about him in a video with, like, captions.
And that's captions.
So
it's really funny.
Funny, and it's just like he just obliterates him. Like, there is no competition here. He's kind of like, yes, fuck you and leave me alone.
Coulson across the street.
Oh boy.
Oh yes.
Now, I have no issue with this guy. There's this whatever tension brewing, and he said it was actually going to turn into the movie Neighbors and that he is Zac Efron, which means that I'm Seth Rogen.
Yesterday was Machine Gun Kelly's Dirty 30 birthday.
It was.
Apparently his name is Coulson.
Yeah.
Which I learned a lot about him. But 5 p.m. that to them, 5:30 is day drinking.
They just woke up.
He had a big cake in the shape of a guitar, right?
And you could see your house in the background.
They still park in front of the fire hydrant. They park in front of the fire hydrant. They park in front of other people's driveways. It's just like, I think they're so that they just stopped the car wherever it lands. There was four guys just in front of this G-Wagon that was blocking my neighbor's driveway. They just leave it with the hazard lights on.
They have to understand, I don't hate them.
Right.
My neighbors hate them because my neighbors have complained about them to me. Every time the cops show up, or every time a car gets towed, or every time somebody gets a ticket, they're assuming it's me. It's not
me. I know.
Well, the video ends with Machine Gun Kelly holding up a bottle of Dom Perignon and being like, hey, Jeff, like, sorry, bro, I'll drop this by. I'll put this on your doorstep later. Like, my bad.
Okay. Jeff, as the new guy on the block, I wish we would have had a chance to meet. I'm sure there's years of noise to come from my house, so I hope that we just have a mutual understanding. And if you ever need anything, just come knocking. Until then, I'm going to send this over your way. Cheers, neighbor.
Well, that's the best part is, like, he's so smart about that, right? Because he kind of mocks him back, right? He gets mocked. He mocks him back a little bit. He kind of like calls him an old man a little bit, just in the implication of the video. But then he doesn't even end it on like, fuck you, bye. He's like, I love my neighbors. Like, Jeff, let's be pals. Like, I'm going to send you an expensive bottle of liquor with like a little note and I'm going to post it. And you can't say fuck you back. You can't say no. You have to accept. You have to say you accept the apology.
Yeah. That's a $200 bottle of champagne. Yes. Okay.
Nice.
Yes. That's very nice of him.
Can we remember? So I always mix up Machine Gun Kelly with
G-Eazy. Yeah.
Yeah. With Gerald because they've both dabbled in acting and they've also both played like the same roles. Like Machine Gun Kelly played a bad boyfriend in Beyond the Lights, like slash rapper. He plays like a rapper who gets involved with like the main singer, Gugu Mbatha-Raw's character. You'd argue G-Eazy is doing better because he's in higher profile stuff. So like G-Eazy was in
Bird Box.
But no, that's MGK. MGK was in Bird Box. Yeah. G-Eazy was in.
Oh yeah, that was MGK.
Wasn't
and he showed his butt.
Which one?
In Bird Box. MGK.
Yeah, so he was in Bird Box. And then G-Eazy.
God, remember Bird Box?
Yeah, remember like everyone just forgot about it immediately. They were like, Bird Box, what? We like had to talk about it for so long.
Everyone was like, I guess we'll watch this and talk about it for 6 months.
It's like, okay. G-Eazy.
What? Okay.
Yeah, me when Bird Box. Huh? Huh? What? Okay.
Huh? What? Oh. Okay.
Wait, why am I blanking on what movies G-Eazy was in? He's been in, Gerald has been in a bunch of.
Just go to the IMDb. I'm going to his IMDb.
He was in Fate fucking of the Hustlers. Furious. He was in Hustlers. He played, I don't know why I thought he was in A Star Is Born. He played the like shitty boyfriend, her shitty boyfriend.
They both have the exact same Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde aesthetic because they can both look like utter dirtbags if they want to. And they can both look very put together and kind of like, oh, they look like they didn't just roll out of bed. Like, they really do have the ability to play both roles pretty well, weirdly.
But they also are like, both of them are pretty popular in music too, but kind of not in the realm in which I pay attention to music. But I do recognize that like both of them have like hits and definitely put out good stuff. Like MGK, like Machine Gun Kelly put out, he like put a cover of Rihanna on Instagram
requested
by Marilyn Manson. And it's good. And Rihanna obviously heard about it and commented like, this is amazing. Like shit sounds so lit.
It's really good. I'll play it here.
Fist fighting fires just to get close to you. Can we burn some, babe? And I run for miles just to get a taste. It must be love on the brain that's got me feeling this way. It beats me black and blue, but it fucks me so good that I can't get enough.
So the point is like these are very famous men, in a way, but it's just like you would maybe.
I mean, Machine Gun Kelly is more famous than Jeff Lewis, I would say.
Really?
Right? Like, right?
Yeah, no, I would agree. Sorry, I thought you were going to say was more famous than G-Eazy, and I would say they're kind of.
Like, if Machine Gun Kelly and Jeff Lewis had the same birthday, Machine Gun Kelly would be higher on the famous birthdays list than Jeff Lewis.
That's
right?
True. Although Jeff Lewis is written about more because he's obnoxious than Machine Gun Kelly, maybe. So I would say that could be a crapshoot. Are you checking? Wait, but like they don't have the same birthday.
No, I know they don't have the same birthday, but I just want to see like how much higher on the. Let's see. Hold on. Machine Gun Kelly and I have the same birthday. How did
do
I forget
really?
That?
Wait, do you really?
Yes, we do.
Wow. How high is he on the list of?
He's number one on April 22nd. Jeffrey Dean Morgan, number nine.
Right, we've been over this. We've fucking been over this.
And then you've got the Jeff Lewis birthday. Jeff Lewis. He's number 48 on his day.
Oh, that's bleak. Who's number one?
A pop singer named Jack Johnson, but not the Jack Johnson you're thinking of.
Different Jack Johnson.
Yeah. Peyton Manning is number three. Jim Parsons is number five. Okay, if Jim Parsons beat you, then Machine Gun Kelly is going
to
beat you.
I do have to say, I would have a hard time recognizing Machine Gun Kelly, and I do still have a hard time recognizing G-Eazy. Like, when G-Eazy was in Hustlers, I had to, like, go back and be like, was that G-Eazy in that role?
Gerald?
Like, who was that? Was that Gerald?
Gerald,
is that you? I know that these men are famous and put out a lot of music and have a lot of fans. I just, for me personally, they're like hooey, but I just, I think I need to look beyond my own personal preference and bias because they're pretty big.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country. The kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. One in four students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Who is Debbie Ryan? And why are we making fun of her? I don't get it.
It's so funny that you called about this. I mean, I guess it's like obvious to everyone, but I also have been on TikTok recently. Maybe you can tell I've been putting them in the, weekly Instagram.
Noticed you're doing a lot of that.
There is a big rush all of a sudden out of nowhere that is this like this jokingly making fun of Debbie Ryan, who you might remember from literally Who Weekly. We interviewed her. Remember?
Oh, I remember.
She's on the pod. Very nice person. We like Debbie.
No, we love Debbie. Debbie's an OG. We like Debbie. Like, yes, we like Debbie.
We like her. She's very cool. This is almost separate from Debbie herself. It's like a bunch of 15-year-old decided that Debbie was a bad actress in Jessie, the show that she was on Disney, which is a wild thing because of course she was a bad actress. She was like 13 years old, you know? Like this show is extremely old and they're going back and being like, wow, she's such a bad actress. And it's like, did she ever claim to be a good actress on Jessie the Disney show?
And was there any like thoughtful direction happening on the set of Disney Channel original shows? It was all like coke addicted middle-aged people being like, let's do this, let's do this, let's do this, let's
like,
do this.
Next up, Jessie, come into the room and drop the eggs on the floor. Okay, moving on. Like, it was not... Right, so it's just funny to me that it's
the
like...
Drop the eggs on the floor.
There's a whole... That's the direction. There's a whole like... culture around like kind of negging Jessie like or Debbie for her role that she played like 100 years ago, and I think it actually kind of made her mad. Like, I think she DM'd people and was like, stop, and they were like, ugh. But the thing is, they always do it to a very specific music cue, which is a version of the Jessie theme song that ends being that ends like womp womp. Can you find it? I think that's
hold on, here it is. Okay, I think this is it.
Hey, Jesse, ooh, it feels like a party every day. Hey, Jesse.
Because there's a lot of TikTok memes where the song starts out like normal and then it ends with like somebody singing it really poorly and it's like the wah wah of the meme, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, you think you're building up to like a good reveal and then it's like a terrible reveal. Does that make sense? And it's always like, it's always that type of song. But it's almost like now when the meme becomes self-referential, people are saying like, why are we bullying Debbie Ryan in 2020? Mm-hmm. And it's like, that's a great question.
It's a great question.
No one knows why all of a sudden a bunch of 14-year-olds were like, Debbie Ryan is a bad actress and we must like bring it to light in TikToks. But that is kind of how everything starts. And the music cue is so funny.
We're talking a lot about exponential growth in this country, in this world right now. And I think it's very much the same thing. Like, it's unprecedented virality on TikTok, you know? Like, all it takes is literally one person being like, wow, Debbie Ryan sucks and Jessie, and then taking one funny video. And then if it gets seen by the right people, enough people, then everyone will be commenting on this thing. And then they will be finding it on their own. Like, TikTok makes it so easy to find one random person's shady thought video, you know? Like, that's what the platform is for. It's for, like, creating, like, virality out of nothing.
Right, but it's also just, like, being the person, right, to create the thing that's sticky that makes people laugh and want to, like, play with it. So it's, like, mm-hmm. the person who made the sound that's, like, hey, just say, ooh. Like, that is the one that is inspiring all of these memes that
hey,
are
just say,
kind of, like, lovingly making
hey, Jesse, ooh.
It feels like a party every day. Do you know that theme song at all?
No.
Oh, wait. Hold on.
Hey, Jesse. Hey, Jesse.
Wait, listen to it. Listen. It's a take on that. Right. She also has a face that she does that they're obsessed with. It's really hard to explain a visual meme on this podcast.
Thank God it's like at least half audio.
Well, it's also just like, I barely understand any memes on TikTok because I'm old. So this is a double whammy of like a show that I never really watched and a person I don't, you know, really know a ton about and a platform on which I am aged out of, you know? The other funny thing about this is that the people who are also making the memes don't know where the meme came from and are still confused. And
of course.
It's almost like everyone is like Meadow realizing that they're doing this meme and saying, like, why are we doing this? Which is makes it even funnier because nobody
another
knows.
Hallmark of TikTok. Another hallmark of TikTok. You don't have to understand to participate, you know? It's sort of why it's so brilliant.
To say, ooh.
It's like TikTok makes it so easy to take the structure and like the template and just like make it your own. You don't actually have to understand the origin story of the Jesse meme. Or right. You don't even have to really comprehend the fact that like in participating in the hey Jesse ooh meme, you are sort of bullying Debbie Ryan. Like it's easy to forget that, I guess, you know?
Right, right. Debbie joined TikTok, but she hasn't really gotten into her own meme, which is kind of a mistake. You gotta buy into that.
Yeah, it's true.
Quick.
So we could do the Alexandra Stan if you want to.
It's kind of funny. It kind of has a funny ending.
Hi, Weekly. I was thinking about this one tweet about Winston Duke where someone said, his character in Black Panther, M'Baku, could blow my back out if he wanted to. And I was thinking about the reaction that him, Anthony Mackie, Sebastian Stan had in the BuzzFeed office where they read it. And I was like trying to tweet about it and I looked up Sebastian Stan to make sure I could spell his name correctly. And I also couldn't remember if he was married to the lead in Queen and Slim, whose name I seem to be forgetting. I want to say Jody something, but I can't remember. I can't remember couldn't remember. And I was looking at his personal life, and the wildest connection is that Sebastian Stan, is the godson of Anastasia Sowore, who is the billionaire businesswoman and CEO of Anastasia Beverly Hills, like the main makeup of drag queens and a big sponsor of Drag Race. And I want to know how and why, and I am not knowing how to do that. And I am, All right. Good form, Bella Thorne. Rip, Star, Joe, Yummy Pop. Women do belong in balloons.
This is a crazy call. Like, you got from, like, a tweet in which like somebody wanted to fuck Winston Duke from Black Panther all the way to the fact that Sebastian Stan is the godson of Anastasia Beverly Hills. Like, think about the journey.
That journey is what we want.
I wish I had a better answer that was like, this is exactly it. But I think I have most of it, which is that they are both Sebastian Stan and Anastasia Beverly Hills, whose last name is what is her actual last name? Sowore.
Okay.
They are both from Romania. They're both Romanian. And they're from a specific place called Constanta in Romania. So
okay.
If you think about it, it would make sense that like his parents are her friends of the family. They're all from, I mean, Constanta is pretty big. Like, I did look it up. I was like, it's not a small town. It's not like, oh, small town, they must all know each other. But It makes sense that if they're both Romanian, they're both from the same town, that's how like this happened. It's just so funny because people who know about this are just like true Sebastian stans of Sebastian Stan. We're gonna call stans. Like, they're the ones that know about this. Like, no one is really like standing for Anastasia Beverly Hills. People just know she is because of the eyebrows and of RuPaul. She's always involved with RuPaul's Drag Race and da da da. So it's like it's one of those things that comes up only on Tumblrs, only on fan Tumblrs, only in like Instagram comments. He responded, somebody said, I just realized Sebastian is following Anastasia Beverly Hills, LOL, my favorite makeup brand. And he responded, ha, she's actually my godmother. But there is no information. And the other funny thing about this is that you would think Sebastian Stan has got a lot of other stuff going on in his life, his personal life. It turns out literally the only thing under his personal life Wikipedia section is that he is the godson of Anastasia Sowore, billionaire businesswoman, the CEO and founder of Anastasia Beverly Hills. Isn't that also weird?
It's really weird that that's it.
How
it's
is that
really
the
weird that that's
only
it.
Thing like, is there anything? Does he have a girlfriend? Like, does he, what is his deal? That's the only thing.
I don't know what his deal is, Lindsay, and I would like to know what his deal is. Typically whenever your deal is this mysterious, Ben is back, but I don't really know what else to say.
I'm not saying Ben is back. I'm just saying it's very strange to me that literally the only thing under personal life on his Wikipedia section is this like random fact only confirmed by Tumblrs. You know, like it's truly this is something that's just so strange. And then the other thing was I was looking at this took me. I'm like thanking you for taking me on this journey. This took me to the page, the Wikipedia page, People from Constanta, which is mm-hmm. in Romania. And it's literally under S. It goes Anastasia Soare, who's Anastasia Beverly Hills, Sebastian Stan, and Alexandra Stan. And I was like, oh, is that his sister? So I click on her name. No. A woman. She is a woman named Alexandra Stan, who is a Romanian singer-songwriter who is most famous for the song Mr. Saxo Beat. Do you remember Mr. Saxo Beat? You
probably
must.
Wait, that name sounds familiar. I must know that.
Mr. Saxo Beat. Mr. Saxo Beat. Can you play?
Wait.
Come on. You know who loved this song? Kelly Reeves. So she got pretty famous in Romania, like she was, you know, for having this like huge international breakout hit.
Yeah, Mr. Saxo Beat. Wait, I just Googled, is Alexandra Stan related to Sebastian
Stan?
Not. And again, I found a great Tumblr, sebastiononline.tumblr.com, and this is a post from 7 years ago. An anonymous asked, does Sebastian speak Romanian? And is he maybe related to Romanian singer Alexandra Stan? And the proprietor of this blog said, hi there, Anon. To answer your question, I have zero knowledge that he... speaks Romanian. But I believe he does. I think I read a quote of his somewhere about him still speaking Romanian with his mom, but I'm not really sure about it. This is just iconic Stan behavior. And then the next paragraph... And actually, it's funny you ask, because I was wondering the same thing. I don't think he's related to her, though. At least Google says he's not. Smiley face. Thanks for stopping by.
A really helpful Stan. Like, a Stan that knows literally next to nothing answering the question. I did do... Alexandra Stan is not related to Sebastian Stan, but Anastasia Beverly Hills is his godmother. So that's what's a fun. That's like, to me, the funniest thing. It's like she's not related to him, but this other person who's from Romania, from his town, is his godmother. And I'm just so happy that this led me to Mr. Saxo Beat, because then I was just like listening to Mr. Saxo Beat being like, you make me out, like a freak, make me out. You make me this, bring me up, bring me.
I'm on genius.com/Alexandra Stan, Mr. Saxo Beat.
Sure. Yeah, you are.
The lyrics are just a love message where Stan speaks of a man she is attracted to and the way he makes her move, presumably to something similar to the saxophone riff that drives the track. And then the best comment is Adrian Vox, who just says, I love the beat in this song. Mr. Saxo Beat. Okay, cool. We're done with the episode for today. I think that ending with Mr. Saxo Beat is maybe the best possible way we could ever end any episode. And we're really fortunate to have had a call about it. Thank you for listening to another episode of Who's There. We really appreciate it. Thank you for calling in. These are really fun, as always. Also, thank you for everyone who called in with a pronunciation of Grimes' baby. I think I counted almost 80, and I may have missed some.
And I counted more.
So we probably got close to 100, I would say. And I think I used like 60 in the audio. I'm not sure. But I just am so happy you all did that. That was so much fun to listen to and create. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Support us on patreon.com/weekly for bi-weekly bonus episodes. Even though this is not a Westworld podcast, is no longer going to be about Westworld. It's not going to be about anything. It's just going to be good. And then we will have two.
What is it
going to
be about, though?
Anything. Run, Chromatica, okay, anything we want.
We need to actually, we need to discuss this and make a plan. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And what else is I going to say? Have a great weekend. Call 619 Who Them if you have any questions, comments, concerns. And we will see you on Tuesday with another episode. Bye.
Bye.
Hi, Who Weekly. Guess who never read Dune? Me. And Leah Michelle. Crunch, crunch.
Hi, Lindsay, Bobby. I just want to thank you for what you said about Julia Stiles in Save the Last Dance. I think your listeners needed to hear it. I had the same experience, and it was brave of you guys to go there. Thank you.
Okay, I've got a really, oh, God damn it. Hi, Lindsay Bobby, I already screwed it up.
Hey, Jesse, ooh.